Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Tuesday, November 21st, 2018. Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe resigns, and an SPLM-IO loyal to Riek Machar reacts to recent statements by Kenyan ambassador that the revitalization process is inclusive.
These remarks are astonishing because this is already the status quo. Three of our leaders were kidnapped from Kenya, and after that, the majority of our leaders have already fled Kenya. And those who are here in Kenya have not been making statements.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. We have a breaking news at this hour. Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe resigned on Tuesday in a letter submitted to the parliament, while jubilation broke out among MPs when Mutunda told the House. The speaker made the surprise announcement a short time ago and suspended the impeachment hearing of the president. President Mugabe says he is resigning immediately and voluntarily so that there is, quote, smooth transfer of power after his 37 years of being in charge. At 93, Mugabe was the world's oldest head of state. His resignation follows a military takeover that occurred last week, which was prompted by Mugabe's firing of his long-term deputy and aligning his wife Grace Mugabe to succeed him. There are unconfirmed reports that his recently fired vice president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, will take over as president within 48 hours. The former vice president has strong backing from the military, but critics say Mnangagwa hardly represents a new Zimbabwe. Anita Paul reports from Johannesburg.
For 37 years, Emmerson Mnangagwa was Robert Mugabe's right-hand man and one of his staunchest defenders. Mnangagwa was at a ZANU-PF rally in central Zimbabwe earlier this year. ZANU-PF is a sacred party, he tells the crowd. It will rule and rule. Those barking will continue doing that while ZANU-PF remains in power. Forward with Mr. Mugabe. Forward with ZANU-PF, he says. What a difference a few months make. Now deposed Vice President Mnangagwa, nicknamed the Crocodile for his cunning guerrilla tactics in Zimbabwe's independence war, is leading calls for Mugabe to step down. Last week, the military put Mugabe under house arrest, demanding Mnangagwa's reinstatement and Mugabe's resignation. Mugabe fired Mnangagwa earlier this month, accusing him of treachery. The move was widely seen as a chance for Mugabe to fill the position with his unpopular 52-year-old wife, Grace Mugabe. Since 1980, Mnangagwa has served in a handful of cabinet positions, including as intelligence chief, and he was made vice president in 2014 after Mugabe fell out with his predecessor Joyce Majuru, now also a bitter Mugabe critic. Mnangagwa's investiture, in fact, would settle a bitter generational power struggle within the ruling party. One faction of liberation-era fighters-turned-politicians is led by Mnangagwa, who earned his nickname in 1965, the year Grace Mugabe was born. The other, the G40 faction of younger Zimbabweans, was led by Grace Mugabe and enjoyed privileged access to her husband. Chris Muchanga, head of the influential War Veterans Association, said they are supporting Mnangagwa. He blamed the nation's struggling economy on the poor leadership of the younger faction.
They have no idea of how to run a modern state, so they've run a scorched earth policy on the economy. But what we have done with my leadership of the war veterans is to give back the people of Zimbabwe their conscience, because they look to the people who fought and liberated them for guidance. And when we then said there's something wrong with this man and his wife and the team, the cabal of called the G40.
Is Mnangagwa a breath of fresh air? Zimbabwean scholars are quick to note he is widely credited with being the architect of Kakura Hundi, a series of army-led massacres of political and ethnic rivals in the 1980s. Mnangagwa has maintained a low profile since his firing, but in a widely circulated statement Tuesday, he criticizes the regime's corruption, incompetency, dereliction of duty and laziness, social and cultural decadency. But why now? Perhaps Mnangagwa let his intentions show in an interview 2 years ago with local media, in which he spoke proudly of his nickname, the Crocodile. It never goes in the villages or in the bush looking for food, he said. It strikes at the appropriate time. Could this be Emmerson Mnangagwa's time? Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
And now to South Sudan affairs. The SPLM-IO loyal to Riek Machar is blaming the Kenyan government for further isolating their party from South Sudan's peace process. As SIN Bureau reports, opposition members say recent remarks made by Kenya's ambassador to South Sudan will not foster peace or encourage dialogue among South Sudan's warring parties.
Kenyan ambassador to South Sudan, Cleland Leshore, told observers during a joint monitoring and evaluation commission meeting in Juba yesterday that his country would not be, quote, a launching pad for any subversive activity against the government of South Sudan. Those remarks were met with shock and disdain by SPLM-IO member and former Riek Machar-appointed Minister of Water and Irrigation, Mabior Garengde Mabior, who says his group has become accustomed to harassment and contempt from the region.
These remarks are astonishing because this is already the status quo. Three of our leaders were kidnapped from Kenya, and after that, the majority of our leaders have already fled Kenya. And those who are here in Kenya have not been making statements. Not because of the statements of the ambassador, but because this is already the status quo. So any of our members who make statements from beyond the borders of the IGAD region.
The Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission says it has tried to be inclusive in its recent attempts to revitalize the 2015 peace agreement, including the organization of a high-level revitalization forum endorsed by the regional bloc IGAD. JMEC Chairman Festus Mahai says inclusivity is a cornerstone of the revitalization process.
I made it clear that if the peace agreement is to get back on track, we will need an inclusive political process which brings together all parties and estranged groups, a cessation of all hostilities and a renegotiated permanent ceasefire that includes all armed groups.
But Mabior says talk of inclusion these past few months is just that, talk.
This was the reason that we were not able to participate in the recent meeting that was held by the various opposition groups, because our cadres were fearing to be kidnapped, like James Gebet and Agri Idi and Dong Samuel. So even in Uganda, we have information that Agri and Dong and James Gebet were taken through Uganda. And Ethiopia has made it clear that they don't want SPLM-IO. And so the region has agreed to the isolation of Dr. Riek Machar in South Africa.
Mabior adds his group no longer makes statements from Kenya because of security concerns, but he accuses the government in Juba of painting critical South Sudanese citizens in Kenya as being rebels.
Well, what we have is a refugee population, people who have fled the country. And so what I think is happening is that some of the people who are hostile to the government make statements on their social media pages. And so this irritates the government of South Sudan. And so the government of South Sudan now uses this as rebels who are staging subversive acts. But these are just citizens of South Sudan who have fled the country, and they are airing out their grievances and exercising their freedom of speech on their social media.
Reports say Riek Machar, the chairman of the SPLM in opposition, has been under house arrest in South Africa for months, a move that his party has strongly criticized. Ayan Bior for VOA News, Washington.
Officials at the Ministry of Education in South Sudan say school enrollment is improving in parts of the country. They attribute the increased enrollment to outside funding from various sources. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Juba.
South Sudan education officials say a European Union project that provides $40 a month to primary teachers, a British funding program that provides more than 200,000 girls with money for school fees and supplies, and World Food Program is sponsored feeding program have all contributed to higher school enrollment. Education officials and representatives of aid agencies are meeting in Juba to review progress and setbacks in South Sudan's education sector over the past 4 years. Officials say despite the widespread displacement of hundreds of thousands of children due to continued fighting in the country, they are encouraged by efforts to improve learning. Under the Education in Emergency project for the past 3 years, donors have been providing funds that go directly to schools and students. School girls at Juba Girl 1 Primary School say they buy basic school supplies with the donor money they receive.
It's helped me a lot for buying a lot of things. If you need something to buy, you can buy, and so many things that you need to pick.
It helped me coming to school. Can help us even for buying the uniform, bags, and the shoes, even the socks. Yeah, we are happy because they are giving us this money, because if it's not this money, many girls will not come to school.
Teacher Richard Bastin at Juba 1 Girls Primary School says his school has seen a big jump in girls' enrollment since the cash program was introduced.
Just for that time up to now, I can see there's a great improvement. Now, this year, the girls which are registered so far, they are 800 girls from beginning from primary 1 up to primary 8. Okay, there's a great improvement. The other years, they are less. I can say that they are about 500, 600.
Teacher Alfred Angasi praised the Girls Education South Sudan, or GES program, for improving girls' enrollment, but says girls' performance in the classroom remains poor.
There is big enrollment this year compared to that of last year. Last year, the enrollment was poor. By next year, I think the enrollment will increase because every girl would want to get the money granted by GES. The enrollment has never affected any performance. Girls, they don't perform. Despite that, they get the money for this and for their requirements. Performance remains as it is.
More than 200,000 girls across the country continue to receive cash payments through the Girls Education South Sudan project. Angasi says teachers are also motivated by the EU-funded project. Some 30,000 teachers benefited from the incentive. Michael Lopuke-Lotiam, Undersecretary in the Ministry of General Education, confirms his school enrollment is up.
From 2014, when we last had about 920,000 children in the entire general education system, to this year that we have over 1.5 million children in education system. We are conscious of the displacement that has taken place in the country as a result of the current war, especially Sudan hosts a lot of people who have been displaced from our country here. Yeah, the same with Uganda, Kenya, and all the other surrounding countries and beyond.
Lotiam says the data comes from the South Sudan School Attendance Monitoring System, which monitored 3,500 schools out of about 5,000 operational schools across the country. Lotiam says girl child enrollment has increased to more than 40%.
We have realized the closing gap in terms of gender parity between boys and girls. Over the years, the number of the girls have always remained low. But as of this year, we realize that the percentage between boys and girls in general education now stands at 44.4% for girls, and then the rest are for boys.
Dr. Andries Adam Awol, education specialist at the UN Cultural Agency, UNESCO, says although school enrollment has improved, more than 1.8 million children remain out of school in South Sudan.
Sadly, South Sudan has the largest, or one of the largest, out-of-school children in the world. So out-of-school children are a big, big challenge here. So in 2013, a study was conducted, but then it was felt it would be good to update that study and to see what it looks like now, considering the last 3 to 4 years of conflict.
Participants at the 4-day General Education Annual Review Conference say they hope to address the problems facing South Sudan's education sector in the near term. Representatives from UNICEF, UNESCO, EU, and USAID are attending the conference. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at doctors saving lives in Jonglei State. That story is coming up next.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the ideal presidential term limit and why?
My ideal presidential term should be 10 years because it will enable whoever becomes president to be able to accomplish his vision and mission for the country.
4 to 5 years, because for that kind of period, someone will have given enough, had enough time to implement his plans, because, you know, development is a journey.
I think a 4-year term is okay.
I have to say 2 years. After the 2 years, we can see if he is good, then we're going to add another year.
To me, I see it should be just a life presidency, just because when we give a president a term, there are certain strategies that can't be implemented.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. It's time for our Tuesday health segment, and today we are talking about drug shortages in South Sudan. Health workers in the Jonglei State Capital Bor say a chronic drug shortage in government health facilities is hampering their ability to provide adequate care to patients. Bor Civil Hospital, the area's largest hospital, has run out of life-saving medicine, including malaria drugs. One doctor says 3 of his patients died over the past 2 weeks because of a lack of drugs at the hospital. Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
35-year-old Adununyok takes care of her 6-year-old son, Bura Alier, who suffers from malaria. Speaking in Dinka, Nyok says she worries about her son, who the doctors say is in critical condition as doctors prescribed drugs not available at the hospital. Nyok says she does not have enough money to buy the drugs in the pharmacy.
I have been here with my son for 2 days. He has fever and is vomiting. When we came here, the doctors say my son has malaria. He has been injected with some drugs that I brought from a private clinic. I did not buy some of the required drugs because I cannot afford them. I am struggling to see that I buy the drugs one by one, but I don't know if I will manage.
33-year-old Devora Awil brought her 10-year-old daughter, Akurideng, to Bor Hospital to be treated for malaria. Speaking in Dinka, Awil says doctors also advise her to buy drugs for her daughter's treatment from a private pharmacy in Bor Town.
My daughter has been in a really terrible condition. She has been unconscious for almost 2 days, but thanks to God, today she is conscious. I have been struggling with our father to buy drugs from outside this hospital because the doctor says some drugs are not available in the hospital.
Even though Bor Civil Hospital has run out of drugs, Awil prefers to keep her daughter hospitalized because she says she believes the doctors are trustworthy and provide free consultation to patients. Kur Mabiei and his wife, Ayang Anyon, came to Bor Hospital today to consult a gynecologist. Speaking in Dinka, Mabiei says some of the drugs the doctor prescribed for him and his wife aren't available at the hospital's pharmacy.
My wife and I have not been able to have a child since we got married. That's why we are here. The doctors say we should be treated. He has prescribed drugs for us. I have some here with me and the rest are not available, so we have to go and buy from private clinic. The doctor told us also to be coming to him for injection if we got the drugs.
Mabie says he is not sure he can afford the drugs. Habram Grangadao, who runs the pharmacy at Bor Civil Hospital, confirms the hospital has run out of essential drugs.
There is no diazepam, and diazepam is very important for saving a life. Second to it, also chlorpromazine for those who have mental problem. If the patient become aggressive, unless we tie it with a rope or something like that. This drug is really very good, but it's not available. Quinine is a drug that is used for malaria, and but now quinine is out of stock. The same with Artemisa injection and artesanate injection, they are not available.
Dr. Gangrej, who works at Bor Hospital Pediatric Ward, says three patients have died at his ward in the past 2 weeks because the hospitals didn't have the drugs needed to save their lives.
Said we have a lot of allergy now in hospital because of lack of the drugs. Sometimes it's very painful when you receive a patient and you have no drug to administer. All the treatment that we are doing now, all the drugs are being brought from outside in the outside clinic. We have zero medicine.
Dr. Rage is calling on the state government to intervene and immediately obtain life-saving drugs for the hospital.
Now it's just a matter of death because it's urgent matter. And if they listen to me now, they should do that quickly because it's not me who demanding it. It's the population, the people of South Sudan who are demanding that. It's not me.
State Health Minister Dr. Anguk Gordon Kwal says Jonglei State depends on medical supplies from the National Health Ministry in Juba. Kwal says it has been 2 months since Juba supplied Bor Civil Hospital with drugs.
Normally we have a consignment, Central Star National Central Store in Juba. Now we have challenges of road, challenges of insecurity, and for them to do that in Juba and send it, we always face some problems. Like the consignment we received 2 months ago was not a complete consignment because things like anti-malaria, they were not adequate.
Minister Kwal says he is contacting the National Health Ministry in Juba to intervene. Multiple calls made to Dr. Makur Koryom, the Undersecretary of the National Ministry of Health in Juba, went unanswered. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. Zimbabwe's parliament speaker says Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe has resigned. He resigned with a letter from the president today. The speaker made the surprise announcement a short while ago and suspended the impeachment hearings of the president. President Mugabe stated in his letter that he's resigning immediately and voluntarily so that there is, quote, a smooth transfer of power after his 37 years in office. After Mugabe's letter was read out, there was cheering and dancing in the parliament, according to various media outlets. At the age of 93, Mugabe was the oldest head of state in the entire world. His resignation follows a military takeover that occurred last week, which was prompted by Mugabe's decision to fire his longtime deputy and positioning his wife, Grace Mugabe, to succeed him. The impeachment proceedings included allegations that Mugabe allowed the First Lady to usurp constitutional power and that his advanced age incapacitated his ability to rule. There are unconfirmed reports that the recently fired Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa will take over as president within 48 hours. The SPLM-IO blames the Kenyan government for further isolating their party from South Sudan's peace process. Opposition members say recent remarks made by the Kenyan ambassador to South Sudan will not bring peace to the country or enable frank talks between South Sudan's warring parties. Kenyan ambassador to South Sudan, Cleland Lashore, said at a joint monitoring and evaluation commission meeting in Juba that Kenya would not be a launching pad for any subversive activity against the government of South Sudan. SPLM-IO member and former Riek Machar-appointed Minister of Water and Irrigation, Mabiar Gurang de Mabiar, says he finds the remarks astonishing because three SPLM-IO leaders were kidnapped from Kenya, and those in Kenya are not making statements because they feel they would be harassed by the Kenyan government. The Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission says it has tried to be inclusive in its attempts to revitalize the 2015 peace agreement, including the organization of a high-level revitalization forum that was endorsed by the regional bloc IGAD. IGAD Chairman Festus Mohai says inclusivity is the cornerstone of the revitalization process. And finally, education officials say school enrollment is improving in parts of South Sudan, and they attribute the increased enrollment to outside funding from various sources. Education officials say a European Union project that provides some $40 a month to primary school teachers, a British funding project that provides more than 200,000 girls with money for school fees and supplies, and a World Food Program-sponsored feeding program have all contributed to higher school enrollment, especially among girls across the country. Education officials and representatives of various aid agencies are meeting in Juba this week to review progress and setbacks in South Sudan's education sector over the past 4 years. Officials say despite the widespread displacement of South Sudanese children due to the ongoing conflict, they are encouraged by efforts to improve learning. Under the Education in Emergencies Project for the past 3 years, donors have been providing funds that go directly to schools and students. Teachers Richard Baston at Juba One Girls Primary School says his school has seen a huge jump in girls' enrollment since the cash program was introduced at the school. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Yala Kitautu by Victoria Ole.
Yala Kitautu,
Yala
Kitautu,
Yala Yala,
Yala Kitautu,
Yala
Kitautu,
Yala Yala,
Kelini Najere,
Yala
Najere,
Yala
Yala, Kelini Najere,
Yala
Najere,
Yala Yala,
Yala Yala,
Yala Yala,
Sudan,
Yala Yala,
oh,
hey,
hey,
Yala,
hey, hey, hey,
Yala,
hey, hey,
Yala,
Kelly, the Nanu, too,
Yala,
Nanu, too,
Yala,
come on in a jere,
Yala,
in a jere.
Listening to Victoria Ole with the song Yala Kitautu. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. We want to hear your comments about our show. Drop us a line. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on the Facebook. Our Facebook page is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Nina Kulusawa, Yala, Kulusawa, Yala, Yala, Nina Kulusawa, Yala, Yala, Sudan.